Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Lafondra looking to get close side of Font. Lafondra away from David. 3-1 Reading. 3 points Reading.
Hello and welcome to another Elm Park preview podcast. It's going to be a bit different today, mainly because, as you might have seen on the stream already, there's been quite a large 40-50 minute podcast about Reading as a whole and what's going on at the club. So we thought we'd keep this short and sweet and we'd just go for the opposition fan preview. And today we've got Johnny Bullock from the I've completely forgotten your podcast name.
Borough Breakdown.
Borough Breakdown. Sorry, I was watching clips of it earlier and I've been so focused on Reading today that maybe other things are not sticking into my head. How are you doing anyway, Johnny?
Yeah, I'm good, Matt. I'm good. And to be honest, I know we were just speaking off air there around Reading, so, and the disaster that's been happening as of late. So there's no reason why you forgot, to be honest. I feel like it's just you're so upset at the moment with how Reading are playing. It's totally understandable. So don't worry about it.
Yeah, I mean, last night was not great, but I'm going to try and not touch on that whatsoever because, neither was the weekend. You sent me a message on the weekend like, oh, can you do a preview for our podcast? I was kind of like, not now, Johnny. Like, let's leave. Let me mourn for a couple more minutes. But, Middlesbrough's season has been, is it fair to say up and down? Obviously, you started with Neil Warnock in charge. And you got rid of him, end of November, and then it's definitely been on the up recently.
Yeah, 6 wins and 7, which is not bad, is it? It's something that you don't really think about when you think about Middlesbrough Football Club at the moment, because it's such an unheard of run of form, isn't it? But yeah, the season itself, I would say probably the first half of it with Warnock, it was kind of like it was a steady ship going to be about 14th, 15th, probably the end of the season. The players didn't really fit the system and it was Warnock's last year in charge anyway. And what Middlesbrough have been trying to build and achieve over the last few months, probably maybe a year, is try to build like a project and a longer term way of running the club, really, and having a certain style from the very top all the way down. And having Warnock there in charge kind of hindered all of that. So, put it bluntly, he had to go for it to flourish. And we've brought in Wilder and it's just, we haven't looked back really. I think even though we lost against Preston, which was a fluke, by that result, we've been brilliant pretty much every game that Wilder's took over. So it's been quite nice. And I feel like I was so negative last year as a fan watching some of the football we played, but now it's all plain sailing, playing some really good football. And we've made some cracking signings in January so far, and Riley McCree to come in as well. So it's all good on my end, mate. All good.
Well, I don't want to take you back to the dark days of Neil Warnock, but he is a name that often gets bandied around clubs at the wrong end of the championship. And on our Twitter recently, it's been no different. What would you say to Reading fans who want Neil Warnock? Obviously, you're not his biggest fan. Do you think that he'd do a job keeping us up? Do you think that it'd be fun to watch? Like, what would you say to those guys?
Look, Neil Warnock did exactly what we wanted him to do when he took over. When Jonathan Woodgate was in charge, clearly it wasn't working. We needed someone experienced to come in, steady the ship, and then we needed someone else to take us that next step. So if Reading fans are looking for that, then Neil Warnock would probably be a good choice until the end of the season, steady the ship, and then, or maybe go into the next season, try to steady yourselves a little bit more. I know you were saying off air, Matt, that around, I think you have 8 players contracted after this season. Is that right? So with that, and if you want someone to steady the ship in that front, then Neil Warnock's probably a good choice. But footballing wise, if you want to see good football, you're probably not going to see it, but it will probably get results in the first few weeks and months, and then his teams get found out, and then he doesn't have an alternative. Really, it's kind of long ball at the channels, man marking system, which will open you up quite a lot in terms of if a team's good off the ball, then you'll get bad essentially. But Warnock will do a job. He'll get you safe and he'll steady the ship. So it depends on what you want. Honestly, Matt, it depends what you want. It really does depend.
Yeah, and I mean, as you were saying there, and touching upon, Middlesbrough have a project that Reading don't have. So, like, there's nothing to ruin by hiring a bad manager that maybe you guys had. And if nothing else, Andy Carroll and Neil Warnock together feels like...
Much better than Nevin.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly. Although, having said that, Andy Carroll may not be here after this weekend because that's when his contract runs out. But if he does sign on, I'm kind of... in the market for that feels like it could be good fun. But we'll get back to
be fair. To be fair, that there's two offside goals yesterday, like that deserved a contract at the end of the season, and just on those alone, to be honest. Yeah. I was like,
we've offered one, but whether he's gonna have better financial, you know, options elsewhere, it's fairly likely, to be honest, given where we are as a club. Let's get back to present day and back to actual Middlesbrough. So Chris Wilder's come in, and I mean, looking at the formations and whatnot, not much has changed there, but by the sounds of it, he's changed the philosophy. Is that fair?
Yeah, changed everything, to be honest, on the pitch. I think Chris Wilder deserves a tremendous amount of credit for what he's been able to do in such a short space of time. This squad of players could play football. They always have been able to. They've been able to make good decisions happen and also have really good off-the-ball movement and create chances. And under Neil Warnock, like I was saying previously, like the long ball at the channels and hoof ball to... maybe Uche and then try to head on for Duncan Watmore. It just didn't work. We had such a creative midfield and we weren't utilising that at all. So Chris Wilder essentially has got us playing, you know, and he's got to put it simply, he's got us playing. And on the floor, good at creating chances. We're using the width really, really well with Isaiah Jones, and I appreciate Mark Bowler was on the left-hand side, but he's injured now, so we might see Aaron Connolly go on that left-hand side or Neil Taylor as well. So it just seems to fit really, really well. And coming back to that project thing, Middlesbrough were always wanting to build a project. It was kind of like Project 5.0 for us, really, because we were constantly rebuilding, having new managers in, not having a sense of direction, and bringing in Kieran Scott as head of football was kind of that big milestone for that. And then also buying in from the chairman to have that too. The players were bought in and brought in by Kieran Scott to try and fit this mold. So then when Chris Wilder came in, he's kind of that final piece of the puzzle, really. And now that everyone's bought in together, it's gelling quite nicely. And yeah, we're going to have ups and downs. But overall, Chris Wilder's doing exactly what we thought he would do when he came in. So he has changed our style slightly. And we are more progressive on the ball, like ball to feet. We're more hard working, I would say, off the ball now. And I think we might cause you guys a few problems, really, which is going to be quite nice for me to say that. But now I've said that, we'll probably get beat 3-0. So,
because three goals would be more than you've conceded since, I think, November. I mean, okay, you conceded two in the cup, but in your last six, you've conceded two. Is that because you're on the front foot all the time, or are you really good defensively as well as everything else?
I think if you compare Middlesbrough's shape to what it was under Warnock and to what it is now, Middlesbrough's shape is in a different league to what it was. It's really, really balanced. It's we've got a left foot on the left side, on the left side of midfield, a right foot on the right side, which in theory, like, it sounds very basic, but it just makes sense. I think what Chris Wilder is very, very good at is doing the basics really, really well. It's world-class basics, and he's got a side who could look average on paper, overachieving what they're currently playing at. But yeah, like in terms of like defensive structure and stuff, we've just abandoned this man marking system which we had earlier in the season, which just doesn't work. It pulls you apart when you're off the ball. We're a bit more zonal in how we work now, and it's paying dividends, to be honest.
It was weird, the game at the Medeski, because I remember we went into that game with a right back at centre back, and I can't remember who played right back. I think it was a tiny midfielder, and it felt like that's where Warnock should shine. Just ping balls up to the big man the whole time. And it just never really happened. And I'm more worried now going into this weekend than I was for that game. And that's saying something. Although that's with all the rest of our injuries as well, as we were mentioning earlier.
Yeah, well, to be fair, like when we were saying that earlier on the injuries, I think you're in a very similar position last time, right? So it was about, I think you had like North at centre back, you had midfielders playing centre half and a right back, and we didn't have a shot on target in that entire game. So it kind of proved that Warnock's system just wasn't working, and it was quite clear it wasn't. And I think our chance creations now is pretty much double what we were seeing under Warnock. So yeah, we are creating more chances now. So hopefully, fingers crossed, we actually create more chances this time and actually have a shot on target, because then that will be an improvement on the last game, wouldn't it? So fingers crossed for that.
Yeah, I'm not sure my fingers are crossed for that, but you know.
Yeah, true. Yeah, true.
And to make matters worse, as we were talking about, or as you mentioned earlier, that you've actually brought some players in, which Reading can't do at the minute. Balogun from Arsenal, Aaron Connolly from Brighton, like they're good players. Like, loans, admittedly, to the end of the season, but your side's only going to get better, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. We're in the market for probably a couple more as well. We've got Riley McCree, who was at Birmingham earlier in the season. He looks like to pretty much it's a done deal, I think, as far as I'm aware. You know, he should be expected to be confirmed as of probably Monday next week. And again, it's another midfielder, which will add to the ranks. Balogun, fantastic signing. He's been watched by Middlesbrough and Chris Wilder for the last three transfer windows. So his style and his way of his working fits quite well with what Wilder's looking to achieve. And Aaron Connolly as well fell out with Graham Potter at Brighton. But that left, I feel like we'll see him probably on the left-hand side rather than we'll see him up front. But yeah, really, really good signings. I'm so surprised that Borough's business so far. But there's a player we haven't mentioned, and it's Boyd Munce, who came from Birmingham as well. We seen him in an under-23s game where Birmingham beat Middlesbrough 3-0, and we were saying on the podcast that he's a canny player, but you know, you just don't think anything of it, do you? End up signing for us, and then he scored on his debut at the weekend. So, you know, he's 21-year-old. Everyone who we tend to sign at the moment is young, someone we can look to sell on in the future, which is a really good business model, isn't it? But yeah, it's exciting times for us, to be honest. Like, really, really exciting. I think a lot of the fans are buzzing at the moment. They're really bought in, and the players we're bringing in is probably matching that excitement as well. But there is players to bring in. We definitely need a goalkeeper. Definitely.
Well, we've got one that we could sell you who made two mistakes against Kidderminster, but you may not want him. No, well, it's quite funny because in the EPR group chat just before this, I was saying like, oh, maybe Johnny can make the case for any disillusioned Reading fans why they might want to go support Middlesbrough. And to be honest, you've done it really well. I'm liking the sound of Middlesbrough now, and I'm not sure that I've ever said that before. It's a nice enough place, you know. I've driven down the A19 a few times through the middle of it, but I've never really thought about going to watch football too much there. But now I might, Johnny.
Yeah, you know what, Matt? You could go for a pint, have a Parmore, and we can watch some good football. You know, like what's not to like.
Well, what's, you know what? I believe I have had one of those before, because I was very drunk in Redcar once, and somebody forced me to eat one, and I've never been the same since. It was a life changing experience. But
it is.
The last sort of question I want to ask you is where do you think this Middlesbrough side could finish up? Because when Warnock left, he left you, I think, around 14th, and now you're up to 7th, and you don't show any signs of slowing down.
See, that's the thing is with projects and stuff, because you can get so excited and engraved in it and really feel it, because you get this instant success straight away and you think, oh my God, we're going to hit the heights. We're going to get promoted. We're going to win the Champions League in two seasons. Like, you get so bought in, and rightly so, really, with the way Chris Wilder's currently managing the team. And I think we will have a struggle at some point, like all teams do in the Championship. You're going to win five, you're going to lose five. And it's just the way the league works, isn't it? The start of the season, I was saying we won't even hit the playoffs. Not a chance, nowhere near. It's just basically due to the manager. But now, you start to believe a bit, Matt. You know, you start to believe, you get that little bit of excitement in, and you think, oh, you know, we've brought in Balogun, we've brought in Boyd Muntz, we've brought in, we're bringing in Ryland McCree as well, and Connolly, and probably we're going to bring in a goalkeeper. And you think, wow, this team can challenge. You know, this team can really get in about somewhere. But now, mate, yeah, I think playoffs definitely. I'm all in. I'm all aboard the Chris Wilder train, Matt. You need to come and join. You know, leave Redden behind. You don't need that now. You've drove through the A19. You've been to Redcar. You know, you're practically a Smoggy now anyway.
Yes, absolutely. I'm sure my Macam girlfriend would not be particularly happy if I... Yeah, hence why driving through on the A19. But, I mean, this probably isn't as much a test for you, but the game after this is Blackburn. Are you looking forward to that one?
Oh, bag of nerves. Absolute bag of nerves for it. I'm hoping Tony Mowbray cements his legacy at Middlesbrough and lets us win quite comfortably. You know, he's a massive Borough legend, Tony Mowbray, isn't he? And I can see us going and getting a result. I'm looking at Danny Ayala, former Borough player. You know, he's a bit of a loose cannon, so could you target him maybe? But it's going to be a really difficult game. You know, since Ben Brereton's got Diaz on the end of his name, he's just turned into a wonder star, isn't he? So, yeah, it's going to be a difficult one. They're in really good form. We're in good form. Given we beat Reading at the weekend, which could be a really difficult game for us. You know, like, these games aren't straightforward in the league. But, yeah, that's going to be a game where you think, if we get a good result there or even get a draw, you start to believe a little bit more, don't you?
You absolutely do. And I'm rooting for you. Well, you know,
yeah.
Who cares about Blackburn? And my very, very final question is a score prediction for this game that's actually coming up rather than the Blackburn one.
I'm going to stick to the one I've had all week, which we had on the podcast, and I spoke to Proton as well at the EFL, and I've said 3-0. To everyone, so I'm going to stick with 3-0 Borough. But now that I've said that, we'll probably get beat 3-0 and Andy Carroll will score a hat-trick, and it just be an absolute given that'll happen. So, but yeah, I'm going to go 3-0 Borough, Matt, so I'm sorry for that one to come on your show and say we're going to give you a hammering, but I'm feeling confident.
3-0 would be good compared to, go to some recent results. But no, I mean, I feel like... Reading, and I've said this before on this podcast, Reading go into games always with a sense of optimism because we've pulled off some really weird results, like a win away at Fulham earlier in the season. I don't think that we're going to win, but I hope that we are. So I'm going to go with a 1-0 Reading win. And, you know, I'd take 3 points. That'd be nice.
Oh, yeah, of course you would. Of course you would. Like, yeah. I feel like if we got beat 1-0, I think Chris Wilder would lose his rag. I feel like he would lose his shit if that happened. But yeah, why not? Why not go for him? Be optimistic, you know?
Yeah, I mean, Andy Carroll leaving present, because, I mean, I can't see him staying after this week, but... It'd be nice if he got on the score sheet one last time in a Reading shirt. You know, maybe one of those nice overhead volleys, but onside this time.
Yeah, absolutely. And he's a former Newcastle player as well, Jordy. So it kind of makes sense. The script's already written, isn't it? It's already written.
Yeah. Glad to see you're agreeing. we'll chat after the game, and maybe I won't be quite as happy. But Johnny, thanks very much for joining us. I love listening to the Borough Breakdown. I do know the name of it. I forget everything in the podcast when we start go to recording, but yeah, it's a great podcast. So anyone that, you know, obviously you're not going to stop being a Reading fan because of this week, but Borough Breakdown's not a bad one to go check out if you're thinking of changing teams. Thanks very much, Johnny, and good luck for the rest of the season.
Yeah, thank you very much, Matt. Thanks for having me on, mate.
Thanks, mate.